Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour, a lot of food talk. And a little Deadpool talk.
A little bit.
That's pretty much it.
Cheapskate talk.
Yeah. A lot of that. But I liked the first hour. I enjoyed it. Somebody asked me, have the texters gotten better because you don't talk about them as much anymore? No, I just didn't. There's like two or three guys that text the same thing every day, and I just ignore them. And so there's no point in talking about them. But there's some, I'm just kind of focusing on the good texts. That's one of my new things that I decided to do this year is just ignore people who rip into us on the text line. Unless I can, in the past, if we could make it funny, I would do something with it. But now I'm just like, screw it. I don't even want to do that. I think we beat them up as much as we can beat them up. Yeah. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday, by the way. All right, you had a story you teased and then we didn't get to.
So we talked about Aziz Ansari. When was that? Last week we talked about that, John?
Two weeks ago. Whenever it broke.
About whether or not he was, if he should be included in this stuff. And now I'm on a similar sort of question with James Franco.
It was last week. Okay. The story was written on the 16th.
So,
or 14th, I'm sorry.
I guess James Franco is like he's a teacher of, like, he teaches acting classes.
Yeah.
And there is, in the master's program, he does a class about nude scenes. I'm going to give you the two examples. There's five women who have accused him. And I am having a hard time finding all the accounts, but the two of them that I read, I was like, man, I don't feel like this counts as what we're talking about here. So he runs this class, and it's a class on nude scenes. And the lady was on Good Morning America, I think, or something today, saying that sometimes there would be changes to the script. And the nude scenes that he would have us do felt gratuitous. And then she went on to say, I don't think he's like Harvey Weinstein. I think he's a good guy with a generous spirit and he means well. But I felt like he was taking advantage of unfamous women, who non-celebrities, and just basically working it out to where he could see them naked. Which may have been the case, but it's not like he was going around forcing people to sign up for the nude scenes class. Like, if you sign up for that, I feel like you should expect to get nude, right?
That's kind of the point, right?
And then the first lady we heard about, remember the very first accusation against James Franco was this girl who said that they were in the car, and he tried to push her head down towards his crotch while saying, come on, baby, come on.
Yeah.
Well, turns out, after that incident, they went on to have, like, a two-month-long relationship where they were sexually involved with each other. And I'm like, if he did that, and then you went on to have sex with him for 2 months... I don't know if I feel that bad for you. So what she said was she said I just want an apology. And I'm like, this sounds like a chick who's jaded because she didn't get as much out of this relationship with a celebrity as she thought she would, or it didn't go as long as she thought it would. And it's you know, if he pushes your head down and says, come on, please, and then you don't do it, but then you keep having sex with him, like, that's kind of forgotten business, isn't it?
Isn't that just saying no?
Yeah. But then you have sex with him later. You can't be mad about that thing that happened before once you guys have an intimate sexual relationship.
In any relationship, there's going to be times where the woman says, no, I don't want to do that.
This is like, okay. Imagine this. I ask my wife, hey, honey, you want to go, you want to do some backdoor action tonight? She says no. I throw a little pressure her way. Come on, let's try it. She says no.
Yep, hashtag me too. She needs to start tweeting it.
Then we're married for, you know, let's say we're married for another 15 years, and she says, well, then we get divorced, and she's like, you know what, one time he tried to pressure me into having anal sex. Like, that's not a hashtag me too thing. So I'm not totally clearing James Franco like I did Aziz Ansari, because there's more incidents, and I can't cover them all. But on these two instances, I'm saying he didn't do anything wrong.
You know what? I'm going to go on record here. I think if you're semi-famous, you just need to get a sex robot. Never have anything to do with women again, because somebody's going to... If you're running a nude acting class, and any actor pretty much will tell you they hate doing nude scenes. They're uncomfortable and they're awkward, and I get that. So obviously, teaching it is uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah.
But I do like that idea, though. That's kind of a cool way to see women naked.
You know what, by the way? You know, at the Golden Globes, Scarlett Johansson kind of threw shade at James Franco, talking about, I want my pin back. Well, guess what Scarlett Johansson does? She keeps making movies with Woody Allen over and over, like he's some kind of a peach. You want to hashtag me too? I mean,
yeah, that's
Woody Allen's creepier than half these guys that are getting accused now. People act like Woody Allen and Roman Polanski and these guys get a pass because it happened before this hashtag me too stuff.
Yeah,
but let's not forget those are bad guys.
832 says, Dave Chappelle said it best. Some of these women got involved, and now they got buyer's remorse. I think there's some of that, and I think it...
Dude, I think the biggest thing that happens is non-celebrity girls hook up with a celebrity guy and want to be... They want to hold on to that. They want that to be a permanent thing, and the guy is looking at it as either a one-night stand or... You know, he's just looking to have some fun, whatever the case may be. And then when he breaks it off, she's like, this is BS. I thought we had something special. And women don't like to hear that. When they think there's something special and it's not special, that's when the problems arise.
Well, and I think some people just like attention. I mean, I think that's part of it, especially if you're an aspiring young actor and you can get on the Good Morning America and talk about stuff. You wouldn't be on there otherwise.
Right.
I think it's... And that one was a little hard, because I like James Franco. I like Louis C.K., but he was out of line.
Right.
Stuff was way out of line. It's a different thing, I think. But I also believe we're getting a lot of things that people are turning into Me Too stuff that aren't Me Too stuff.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm against everybody that is out there, you know, groping and raping and things like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you Weinsteins out there, you're the worst.
Yeah, it's bad news. But a bad date or a guy, like, asking for sex and you're not ready to have sex, that's called dating.
Well, yeah. I'm glad I'm not in that game anymore. I would not want to be anywhere near anybody.
Who needs it? Who needs the headache?
Speaking of...
The best time was like 5 years ago, I think. 5 years ago, when Tinder was in its heyday, And it was basically known, like, there was, I don't know, I never had Tinder, but the people I've talked to, like, Jong, I don't know if there was a code or how it worked, but, like, you could pretty much tell if someone just wanted to hook up for fun or if they were looking for a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like, girls just made it known, hey, I'm not looking for a one-night stand, or, hey, I'm just looking to have some fun. Let's get down.
Yeah, usually it's in their profile.
Right. I mean, that is as simple as it gets. Because then there's no questions. It's just these women are letting their intentions known. Now I think it's kind of changed the other way to where that doesn't happen as much anymore. Like, women are back to having some respect for themselves, I suppose. But it's we got to figure out a balance here.
I think trying to turn it into something when you're in a relationship with somebody and you say, no, I don't want to do that, and the guy's normal reaction is like, okay, really? Come on, let's do it. No. All right, that's the end of it. Let's do something else. I don't like the world we live in anymore. I think we've become a world of people creating things when they're not there, and that takes away from the ones that really happened. And we're in a world where people can't drive.
Right.
I hate that.
We're definitely in that.
Jong, are you familiar with Enzo Amore?
Enzo Amore. Why?
WWE star Enzo Amore.
Oh, yeah. He had like the pineapple hair.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about him, but he's...
Is he the Yuli Gurriel of WWE?
I don't know.
A little more rapey.
Yeah, a little more rapey.
Oh, no.
Yep, he's the latest. He got fired.
Well, that's good.
After initially being suspended, police told Phoenix television station that... he's being investigated. His real name is Eric Arndt. Is being investigated in an alleged assault at a downtown hotel in October. Police say the accusation was reported to authorities from a local hospital several days after the alleged assault, but did not release other details. Apparently, a woman went on Twitter and told the whole story in graphic detail.
Jeez.
So there's another one added to the list.
Boy, us dudes as a species, we just don't know how to act.
Apparently not. So, I think let's all agree, guys, don't sexually assault anybody.
Yeah, dude, don't do that.
And women, don't make up stuff if you do.
Or don't accuse someone of assault when they just hurt your feelings.
Yeah. Feelings are going to get hurt.
Yes. You can't go ruining guys' careers because you got your feelings hurt. Now, if
you got Cosby'd, that's one thing.
That's a different story
altogether.
You got
Weinstein'd, that's a different story. Oh, well.
Man, I didn't know about this about Woody Allen.
Oh, really? You didn't know that he banged his 15-year-old stepdaughter?
That's weird.
Yeah. He was one of the original ones.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's
a super creep.
Roman Polanski was another one. You mentioned him.
Roman Polanski won't even come back to America.
Yeah, if I'm...
hiding out.
Yeah, if I'm Scarlett Johansson, you have no place to talk about sexual
abuse. If you're
going to
keep doing movies with that guy?
Yes.
That's where I'm at.
Oh, no, but he's changed, AJ.
No, to hell with that.
What? She's still only like 26 years old or something. She can't even be that old.
Who?
His stepdaughter that he was hooking up with.
I'll check.
Well, but she was 15.
Yeah. Soon Yi.
Yeah. Creeposaurus Rex.
How old is Soon Yi? She's got to be older. I mean, she's... Because Mia Farrow's what, in her 70s now?
Yeah, got to be.
Dylan Farrow is...
That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about Soon Yi.
Oh, okay.
Because Mia Farrow is that's the mom.
Yeah.
And she's got a few kids.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, Dylan Farrow is the daughter, isn't it?
No, Soon Yi is the daughter that Woody Allen... She's 47. She's the adopted daughter of Mia Farrow.
47 now?
Yes.
Jeez, it's that long ago that he was doing that.
But this.
Well, and he's still married to her.
Wow.
This story says Woody Allen sexually abused his adopted daughter, Dylan Farrow.
He may have done that too.
And this is from Vanity Fair.
But he's married to his former stepdaughter now, who was 15 and is now 32 years later.
Man, this is crazy. Her lawyer told in 1992 her lawyer told her to take August 5th, 1992, to take the 7-year-old Dylan to a pediatrician who was bound by law to report Dylan's story of sexual violation to law enforcement, and did so on August 6th. So, 7-year-old daughter.
Jeez. Oh,
but continue to make movies with this man.
Right. And then you yell about James Franco, who tried to get a blowy from some chick.
Mm. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Baseball Hall of Fame inductees being announced. Chipper Jones in. Vlad Guerrero in. Jim Tomei in. Trevor Hoffman in. And they're just kind of leaking them here as we go. So.
No Clemens, no Bonds, huh? I'm guessing that would be the headliner if one of them was in.
Yeah.
It's so shameful.
It really is. It's kind of embarrassing. It really is. I think at some point you have to...
Like, I, you know what? I understand, like, you want to keep guys like Manny Ramirez out, who has multiple failed tests. Okay. Sammy Sosa, failed tests. Rafael Palmeiro, even. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, zero failed tests between them. Just a couple drug dealers saying that they did it.
And, oh, by the way, they were Hall of Famers long before they were ever suspected.
And I'm not saying, I'm sure both of them did do steroids, but... I'm also sure that most of these other guys you're putting in probably dabbled at some point as well. So
yeah.
It's just so hypocritical. It's so embarrassing. Yeah,
just those four. Jones, Guerrero, Tomei, and Hoffman.
These are the two best players, probably the best pitcher I saw ever play in my lifetime, and probably the best hitter I'll ever see in my lifetime. And neither one of them can get into the Hall of Fame. Right. It's humiliating.
I agree with you. I'll be interested to see how close they were.
Last year they were at 54.1 for Clemens, 53.8 for Bonds. So we'll see if they get any closer. But they're putting in freaking relief pitchers and not Roger Clemens.
Trevor Hoffman.
Give me a break. Relief pitchers.
Somebody just tweeted, Edgar Martinez doesn't make it. Ridiculous. Really? Edgar Martinez?
Edgar?
That's what your
lifelong DH-er?
Yeah. Come on. Barry Bonds first.
Yeah.
That's the one you should be upset over. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
I'd probably bitch more about, like, Larry Walker than Edgar Martinez.
Yeah.
At least Larry Walker played in the field.
Martinez got 70.4% according to Steve Buehner.
Edgar Martinez. 309 career home runs. I mean, he's a good player.
He hit for average, too.
Yeah, 312. Larry Walker, 383. He hit 313 in his career.
Yeah.
And he played in the field. I mean, he's got more RBI. He played a 1 year less than Edgar.
Clemens got 57.3% of the vote.
That's up 3.6.
See, and I had read a thing today from all the USA Today guys, and every single one except for one had Clemens and Bonds. And it really...
These writers are so petty. They're so self-righteous and petty. It's shameful.
Yeah. Richard Justice tweeted out, writers have voted in 16 players in the last 5 seasons. In the 8 seasons before that, they inducted 9 total. So in the last 5 years, you've put in 16 players, but not the two best guys of their generation.
Right.
Okay.
Did you ever see a better player than Barry Bonds?
No.
You're older than me.
No.
But, I mean,
no. Barry Bonds.
You never saw like Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle.
No, I was way before my time.
Yeah.
I think the best player, well... It's hard to say, but I think he was the best that I've seen, especially those couple of years where you either walked him or he hit a home run.
Right.
I mean, he was impossible to get out.
Dude, people were walking him with the bases loaded. Who, when if you got a 2-run lead and the base is loaded, you were walking Barry Bonds.
And Jeff Kent can thank Barry Bonds for that MVP.
Oh,
trophy.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
You ever seen a pitcher better than Clemens?
I've seen guys who were good for a stretch. Like, there was a stretch where Steve Carlton was unhittable.
Okay.
You know, Nolan had some big years, too. Yeah.
But as a
Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, but I think you're reaching a little bit with all those guys. I'm just trying to throw you names that I...
Right. But if you had to pick one of those guys, you're going Clemens?
Yeah.
Me too. I just don't... Jong, you disagree on those two?
No.
You ever seen a better pitcher or hitter than those guys?
No. Randy Johnson's one that might come close, but the longevity of Roger Clemens and just the pure domination. Barry Bonds,
and the
no.
on-field success.
Yep.
And success literally everywhere he went. Boston, success. I mean, not a World Series, but he was successful. Toronto, he was great. The Yankees, he was great. Here, he was great. I mean, wherever he went, he was money. He didn't have that thing where, oh, I got to New York and I shelled up and I sucked. No, not Clemens. He was a boss. But Barry Bonds, I mean... You could cry all you. This dude, you're talking about a 300 career hitter with 762 home runs and 500 plus steals. I mean,
he was a Hall of Famer long before he ever was accused.
Long before, or
when he got big and we started thinking that he might be. You know, same thing with Roger, right? Because the rumor was Roger started him in Toronto. He was already a Hall of Famer by the time he got there.
Yeah, we talk about.
And I feel like they're treating Barry Bonds like Sammy Sosa had a suspect career before the accusations, but then they're treating Barry Bonds like they do with Sammy Sosa, where he had a borderline Hall of Fame career to begin with before he used the steroids. But Barry Bonds is so good that he didn't need them, but he did them to keep up.
So this is just sort of a telling statistic is. I'm going to give you the war, the wins above replacement for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the war for some other players.
Bonds has got to be one of the biggest in history.
Bonds is number 4 in history.
Okay.
He's behind Babe Ruth, Cy Young, and Walter Johnson. So we're talking about guys who never had batting helmets. That's how far you got to go back.
And Cy Young, you can't even really count because right. that was silly and that's never coming close again.
So Barry Bonds, 162.4 is his war. Next on the list would be Willie Mays. He's 156.2. Here, so think about that 162.4, and I'm going to give you some other numbers and just put into perspective how far ahead of everyone else he is. So his 162.4, Ted Williams, 123.2. Lou Gehrig, 112.4. Mickey Mantle, 109.7. Randy Johnson, 102.1. I mean, these are all-time great players. They're not even close. Chipper Jones just got voted into the Hall, 85. Mm. Barry Bonds is almost double the war of Chipper Jones. King Griffey, 83.6. Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, somebody had asked us on Twitter if Griffey's in the conversation with Bonds. Not even close.
Joe DiMaggio, 78.1. And meanwhile, Barry Bonds can't get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, Reggie Jackson, 73.8. Derek Jeter, 71.8. He is so far ahead of everyone. It's laughable. Vlad Guerrero, who just got in today, 59.3. Barry Bonds is almost triple Vlad Guerrero's war. And he's not getting a sniff. Roger Clemens, 140.3. He's 8th all-time on the list. So after the three guys I mentioned ahead of Bonds, there's Willie Mays, Ty Cobb, and Hank Aaron are ahead of Roger Clemens. That's it.
Adam Wexler tweeted this out. Clemens and Bonds, Clemens 57.3, Bonds 56.4. That's barely up from last year.
It's like 3%
each. Yeah, and in 2013, Clemens was 37.6 and Bonds was 36.2. So there's been movement, but it has really slowed down here. And that doesn't bode well. And if those guys aren't in there, then your Hall of Fame's a joke.
It's absurd.
It's just a joke. Yeah, Chipper Jones, congratulations.
Yep.
Roger, I'm sure you listen to the show. You should be in there, dude. I know Roger's riding around listening to us right now. We're on your side.
Man, I'm looking at that 2002 team that lost to the Angels in the World Series. They're not that good. Like, Jeff Kent, other than Barry Bonds, is the only player to hit above 300.
No.
Everybody was 278 for Benito Santiago, 246 for JT Snow, 257, 261, 238 in the right field of Reggie Sanders, 250. And their pitching staff, no pitcher more than 14 wins.
Well,
they did have Robinen, who was lights out in the bullpen.
Yeah. Well, here's the other, it's sort of the most absurd thing about that whole deal and that whole team. If you look at Barry Bonds' postseason numbers in 2002, the Giants, they had no business being in the World Series. They weren't that good. Barry Bonds just had like a Joe Flacco type playoffs where, I mean, he did literally everything for that team and carried them to the World Series. His 2002 playoff stats, 4 home runs. Oh, this was just the World Series. 4 home runs, 6 RBI, 13 walks in the World Series. He had 8 home runs in the playoffs, 16 RBI in the playoffs. They walked him 27 times in 17 games. It's crazy how good that guy was in the playoffs. Nobody was messing with him.
Richard Justice tweeted out next year's first-timers. Mariano Rivera.
Lock.
Roy Halladay. Todd Helton.
No.
Andy Pettit.
No.
Lance Berkman.
No.
Roy Oswalt.
No.
Yeah, I think
it's a Mariano Rivera is going to be, he's going to be up there by himself unless they finally get their act together.
God, if you let Edgar Martinez in before you do one of those guys.
That's when it's out of control.
That's just silly.
Like, listen, Chipper Jones is an all-time great player. I'm not going to take a dump on the dude. He's great.
But he's not Barry Bonds.
He ain't Barry Bonds. And no, if Jim Tomei, you too. Jim Tomei's got some big numbers. His numbers look silly next to Barry Bonds. Like, we just got to stop with this nonsense of writers assuming they know who took and who didn't take steroids.
How do we know Tomei didn't?
We don't. You know, okay. And why is there any more suspicion of Barry Bonds than there was of Jeff Bagwell? Why is Jeff Bagwell able to fight through the suspicion that surrounded him and Barry Bonds?
Well, and what Bonds was leaked grand jury testimony, which is not supposed to be public, from a guy who said he gave it to him.
Right. From a drug dealer.
Yeah. And Clemens, okay. And Clemens was, he said, she said, with his former trainer. And I don't think that guy's credible. And he went before Congress, and you're just going to ignore all that? Okay. Do I think he did it? Probably. But
probably so. But
do I have any proof? No.
Yeah, but you know what? You put a gun to my head and say, did Jim Tomei ever do steroids? If you're wrong, I'm pulling the trigger. What answer are you going with?
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I'm just as suspicious of... And
I'll say that about damn near every player who's gotten into the Hall of Fame.
I'm just as suspicious of Bagwell and Biggio as I am.
As you should be. And I know everybody wants to give Biggio a pass, but if you think, you know, if you really do believe that Ken Caminiti and Jeff Bagwell went off in the corner by themselves and Craig Biggio said, oh, not me, guys. I don't want to do that. I don't want to taint myself. Get real. I don't trust anybody who plays baseball. If you played baseball in this era, you're not above reproach. And I know people, well, what about Ken Griffey? Dude, I don't know if Ken Griffey ever did it or not.
No,
that dude was he came back from 100 injuries. He was able to always come back. I don't know.
Well, even in the 70s, guys were doing it, and that's why. I mean, I always kid about Nolan Ryan, but we don't know. We really don't.
No. Everybody's so willing to give a pass to some people, and and not to others, and I just don't get it. And God, and now I know he didn't get in, but if Edgar Martinez gets in before Clemens or Bonds, you might as well lock up the place and just shut it down, get it out of here. It's useless.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. State of my head.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the world's game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
And we're back on the Blitz. 281 says Bonds admitted he used steroids, but he said he didn't knowingly take them. That's how I remember it. No, he actually, he admitted to using what he thought was flaxseed oil.
Right.
Which is what he said. And Barry Clemens admitted to taking what he thought was B12 shots. I think that's believable for a couple reasons. If your trainer's telling you, hey, I got these B12 shots are going to help you a lot. Okay. You know, baseball players aren't very smart. I could see them being, you know, I could also see them saying, yeah, give me something a little extra and this is what we'll call it. And I don't want to know. And somebody else asked, what do you think about the fact that Bonds was always an a-hole toward the media? Do you think that's
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, these guys.
If Bonds was Ken Griffey?
Yeah, these are petty little guys. And Roger wasn't very well liked by the media either. But, you know what? Let's squeeze in a call on this. Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. There's a hypocrisy among baseball writers that I don't hear a lot of people talk about that I want to get your opinion on. You got guys like managers like Joe Torre, Tony La Russa, and they're revered by these baseball writers. But how'd they get all their wins? Torre got his from Jason Giambi, A-Rod, Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit.
Yes.
And then Lewis has got Canseco, McGuire, but those guys will get in the Hall of Fame. And you think they didn't know their players were used? It's just ridiculous.
That's a good point.
Good call. That's a very good call. Let's try one more. Derek.
Yes, how you doing?
We're doing sports.
I wonder, the question I wanted to, I guess the point I wanted to ask you guys, to see if I could, if you guys, one of you guys would at least agree with me on this. They had a pitcher. I know that everybody says that Clemens, oh man, was, you know, like probably the greatest. My father happened to have been a great baseball enthusiast, man. He loved baseball. And one of the things he said, he threw a name out, and I'm going to see if you guys are going to catch on this name. There was a young man who pitched in Houston by the name of J.R. Richards. And I wanted to just throw that name out. And, of course, I really do believe that, you know, that Barry and, you know, Roger being railroaded for some stupid reason that we will, I guess, never really know the whole the whole detail of.
Well, J.R. Richard was a great pitcher for probably about a 5-year span. He was dominant. Fred, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because J.R. Richard, his last year of pitching was the year I was born.
Yeah.
But from what everything I've heard, J.R. Richard, the first half of his career, he was sort of just a guy. And then about year 6 or 7, he figured something out and just became a force. And I don't know if it was injuries or what it got him off track, what canceled his career, but J.R. Richard, 10-year career, he averaged, he had 107 wins. So you're talking about 10.7 wins per year. The ERA, his career ERA is fantastic. I mean, he's a 3.15 for your career. That's great. But
he was about to become, he had turned into one of the better pitchers in the league. He was about to become a Cy Young type pitcher when he had, as I recall, he had a stroke and that was the end of it.
Yeah, finished 4th in Cy Young voting in 78, 3rd in 79. And then in 1980, his last year, he just didn't play enough games. He only had 17 starts.
Yeah, as I recall, he had a stroke.
Okay.
And that was the end of his career.
But yeah, I've heard the same thing. I've heard people watch him and said he was as dominant as they come. But then when you look at it, you know, you look at the numbers, he had about a 4-year run where he was as good as anybody, it looks like. But you look at his stats from 71 to 75, and he looks like he was just like a you know, Brad Peacock, and like sometimes they decided to start him, sometimes not. Yeah. I mean, he was a
He had a stroke before a game. He was rushed to the hospital and had emergency surgery.
Never played again.
He tried to come back, but he wasn't as good, so he didn't make it. So I guess a year later, he tried to come back, and the stroke had messed him up too much.
And listen, I'm not one to throw crazy accusations out, but why would a 30-year-old man have a stroke? Unless he probably wasn't putting the healthiest things into his body. Let's just go that way.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of rumors out there. Yeah. I'll just say that.
Did you guys see the breakdown percentage?
For everybody?
For everybody. No. So Chipper Jones got the highest percentage with 90. He got 410 votes, 92.2%. Vlad Guerrero got 392 votes. Jim Thome, 379.
I want the percentages. Wait, give me the percentages.
So I don't think this is correct because Vlad Guerrero says 92.9 and Chipper Jones says 92.2, but Chipper got more votes. Jim Thome, 89.8. Trevor Hoffman, 79.9. Edgar Martinez, 70.4. Mike Mussina, 63.5. And here comes Clemens at 57.3 and and Barry Bonds at 56.4.
Okay, Mike Mussina, you said 63%?
64%, basically. 63.5.
Mike Mussina last year, 51.8. He was behind Clemens last year. Now he's jumped Clemens, and I mean, he's almost 10 ahead of him now.
Carlos Lee got a vote.
Give me a break.
And keep in mind,
nobody's still voting for Billy Wagner, right?
No. Billy Wagner got 47%. 11.1%.
Okay, I was going to say he was 10.2 last year.
Trending upward, I guess you could say. And Manny, some notables, Manny Ramirez, 22%. Larry Walker, 34.1%. Let's see, Gary Sheffield, 11.1%. Sammy Sosa, 7.8%.
Gary Sheffield's another dude who, you know, if you watched baseball in the 90s and 2000s, there weren't many guys who people were more afraid to pitch to than Gary Sheffield. That guy was just a monster, and he's got over 500 home runs, and he's almost a 300 career hitter, and he's not getting a sniff.
Who the hell is voting for Carlos Lee?
I don't know, but that's what I don't understand. If Pudge Rodriguez, who was named in every report, he gets in on the first ballot, why can't Barry Bonds come close?
It's just silly. It's just silly. A friend of mine texted me a botched medical procedure led to Richard's stroke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, then I apologize. But maybe J.R. Richard was never doing any kind of drugs or anything like that. I might have been wrong.
All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. When the mama said us to
sleep, when I was stressed out. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Make sure you check out SportsMap.com. Lots of great stuff on there today, as there is every day. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Tomorrow we'll have columns from John Granato. Got one from Patrick Creighton I'm going to put up. Barry Laminack's up tomorrow. So good stuff. Couple of things from Twitter before we get to the gym of the day. Dr. Dre on 290, I believe Tim Perpura is voting for Carlos Lee. KBJ says the horse steroids started around that time. That's when, Winstrol was something that they use that on horses. And that's where steroid use in sports came from. And on top of that, I want to point out, I think it was 2000 before baseball had an actual rule against steroids.
Exactly.
They didn't test for him. You're going to tell me you wouldn't do that? And Brother Bear says, what are the odds baseball writers are just trolling to keep them relevant, or they're just dickweeds? I think they're just dickweeds. Not all of them. I mean, they've got some younger blood in there that's trying to push things now. But there's also these cranky old farts in there that, and every Hall of Fame has them. But, oh well. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, I think one of the creepiest characters in all of child television. Well, I think the creepiest were those Teletubbies.
But I saw one of those Teletubbies died.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like today, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, also on the really creepy list, Barney the Dinosaur. Barney the Dinosaur, the guy who played Barney, David Joyner, played the purple dinosaur between 91 and 2001, is now a sex guru.
Nice.
So he's basically Beth.
Yeah.
But he's a tantric sex guru.
They're both their colors purple.
We may be onto something here, John.
Well, the purple Teletubby died.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Tinky Winky was his name.
Who played Tinky Winky?
Simon Barnes. He died at 52.
That's too old for a Teletubby.
He collapsed in the street. He froze to death. Hypothermia. Hmm. I thought the Teletubbies were from Australia or something like that.
No, that's the Wiggles.
Oh, okay. Where are the Teletubbies from?
They're from hell. Those things were frightening. The sun face and all that stuff. Man, I tried watching those stoned. Fortunately, my kids never really liked Teletubbies. I watched them a little bit when they were young. I watched it stoned one time and it made more sense, but those things were frightening. So regardless, man, that's who we got to hook Beth up with. He's 54 years old.
Yeah.
They're in the same kind of range there.
I'm not into that. I'm not into Barney. I don't want to think about Barney having sex.
And I don't want to, and even if he's not wearing the Barney costume, I don't want to hear that guy doing tantric sex guru stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I grew up on Barney.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, Barney would like to grow up on you now.
Yeah.
I got so angry when they added the other two dinosaurs.
Oh, what was the little yellow one?
I don't even remember, but I got pretty upset that they added one. The yellow one, and then they added the green one when I was watching it when I was little. You said it debuted in 1990?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in kindergarten.
Wow.
Let's see. The friends of Barney were Baby Bop was green.
Okay. I vaguely remember that one. Really annoying. And the yellow one
BJ was yellow.
BJ. Well.
BJ.
There you go.
And Riff was orange.
Yeah, I don't remember Riff.
Yeah, that must be new.
So it says Barney was a Tyrannosaurus. Baby Bop was a Triceratops. BJ was a Protoceratops. And BJ is Baby Bop's older brother, which I don't know how they're different species if that's the case.
Don't let James Franco near BJ.
And then Riff is a Hadrosaur who is Baby Bop and BJ's cousin.
Hmm.
Now, is this the guy that voiced Barney or the guy that was in
the
costume?
The guy in the costume.
Guy in the costume.
They could have put anybody in that thing.
Yeah, but
yeah,
listen.
Could have been
that's
you.
Well, could you
sing the song?
I love you. There you go.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it says here, 91 to 2001, David Joyner was in the Barney suit.
Okay. Yeah, that's the guy who's now the tantric sex guru.
2002 to 2009, it was a guy named Kerry Stinson. And in 1997, I guess for a little bit of time, it was Josh Martin.
281 says, Vikings lost. I guess all things purple die in threes. I see what you did there. Well, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right.
Oh, what do I have here?
You have dirt free.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning then. Listen, it's that time of year. You want to get your floors clean, your carpets clean, your tile clean, whatever it is. You want to save money doing it. Dirt Free is the way to go. Right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase. That means you pay for one room, they'll clean the second one absolutely free. Give them a call at 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Go chemical-free with Dirt Free Carpet. They use powerful engines. They create high-pressure steam made from their patented superwater. Your carpets are fresh and deep cleaned without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Give them a call right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373. Tell them you heard it here and get one room of carpet cleaned free with any purchase. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt-Free Carpet.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.